The following program is brought to you in living color.
From the celebrity room of the Grand Hotel, Dean Martin honors our man of the hour, Michael Landon, with tonight's guests, Don Rickles, Lorne Greene, Phyllis Diller, Amanda Blake, Sid Caesar, Ernie Borgnine, Joey Bishop, Jan Murray, Cliff Robertson, Yul Gibbon, Norm Crosby.
Yul Gibbon. Hello. I'm going to stop it here, but welcome to the show. You're listening to a crossover of VHS Rewind and Landon Nation. I have my co-host on, Kelly. How are you? And Chris, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
It's the meeting of the families here. It's,
yeah.
So, clearly we're going to be reviewing the Michael Landon roast that happened in Vegas at the MGM.
In 1975.
Yeah, 1975. And is that
the year when Little House premiered? No, that was on in 74.
And I guess, yeah, so one year.
And
later.
So it's a hit. So it's a hit, and that's why he's being honored.
I don't know if Little House was a smash hit right away, but it was certainly doing better than they expected.
Well, and at the very least, he had had 14 years on Bonanza, and now was on his second TV show. So, I mean, he's a fixture of television at this point.
Now, Chris, have you ever been to Vegas? Kelly, I know you've been to Vegas.
I have not.
So, oh, okay, you haven't.
I've been there too many times.
too
That's
many
funny. Times. Actually, Pete, just the other night I woke up, because sometimes if I fall asleep first or Pete falls asleep first, vice versa, we'll send each other messages, like, you know, when we find something that we want to show each other, you know?
Yeah.
And I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw this message from him, and he was just like, we should go to Vegas soon. He's like, we haven't been there for a while, but
it's a little
more difficult now.
Well, you know, it is now that Rami's getting older and everything. I'm like, you know, but even if you're under 21, there's really not that much to do in Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, there is. But I was curious, when you go to Vegas, where do you have a place that you stay, or is it like what I would normally do, which is wherever, you know, it's cheap?
We kind of just would find just whatever is the cheapest, because you don't really spend a lot of time in the room usually. But we've stayed at a few different places. We never stayed at a same place twice, I don't think.
So the first time I ever went to Vegas, this is like in like 1998 or something, where we did the drive from LA to Vegas, and we stayed at the Sahara before they tore it down. And it was like old school. Like, I think it was like $30 a night for one thing. And it was as old school as it gets. Like, there was like built-in ashtrays and things in the room, you know, things you just don't see at all anymore. And then they tore it down. And other times I stayed at more modern hotels, but never anything. I never stayed at the MGM, which I hear is still a really great hotel.
I've never stayed there, but we've always gone there when we've been there, and it is really cool looking.
Yeah.
And I think every time we go there, we say that we want to stay there, but we just haven't done it yet.
So I went to the website. You just have to see this guy who's on the cover of their website holding like a turkey leg or something. Wait, it'll get to him. Let me see if I can. This guy.
Look at him.
I don't know. But let's see.
That is weird.
See how much a room would be for the night.
Kelly, do you gamble?
Yeah, we do. We spend most of our time in casinos. So we do slot machines, and then we also will do some sportsbook betting. But that's actually mostly what we've done is gamble. But the last time that we went there, which was in 2022, and I was pregnant, and we were there because it was a work trip for my husband. And so that actually was the only time I was in Vegas, and I was just totally sober the whole time and not doing so much of the, you know, Vegas thing. And we did actually some non-gambling stuff. Like, we went to a comedian magic act thing, and we went to a museum and stuff like that. But for the most part, when we've been there, when I've been not pregnant, it has been mostly just going to casinos and gambling.
Wait, check this out. You know, so 408 total for four nights or three nights? Four nights. 408. That's not bad.
That's per night, though.
It's just total.
Yeah.
$102 per
night. Yeah, it's $102 per night. That's
Can't
cheap.
You read?
We should all go there and we should record live.
This from that room. With that view.
Yeah, with our dollar shrimp cocktail.
Actually, with this price, we can all have separate rooms, of course. And we can... Actually, you know what? A Vegas meetup is not a bad idea.
You know, we could do a live recording for Dr. Quincast, for Latin Nation, for Wanna Grow Cast.
If people would stop listening for free and support us a little bit, maybe we'd be able to afford it.
If you'd like to fund us, please go to patreon.com.
Yeah, go to patreon.com/Dr. Quincast or buymeacoffee.com/rpodcasts. Any support is appreciated. All right. I'm half kidding. But all right, Chris.
We want to gamble in Vegas. Kidding,
but also I would love to do the live.
I think that would actually be a lot of fun. And you know, but I would even do a meetup, you know, as long as we got security clearances of the people meeting up with us.
Yeah.
I don't want any wackos showing up.
Sorry, wackos like Hasler showing up.
Or Linnell. Linnell's the guy who does Little House in the Prairie.
We could do for the live reading. We could do his fan fiction for one of the live episodes.
You know, I've been archiving it and I've been reading it more, and it's really sick. It's really sick. Sick.
Yeah, it's what does he have?
What does he have going on?
Well, so incest, he has a lot of it is. So Albert and Sylvia are kind of central to it, and it's this fan fiction where, isn't it that like she's dead, but they're all dead and they're like,
she somehow survived.
I don't know.
She survived.
Oh, wait, no.
And okay. He goes to trial.
Yeah. but anyway, so it's like, it's all this Albert and Sylvia stuff, but it's just really messed up. There's this one. There's this one where there's an orgy in Walnut Grove.
Yes.
And
what? I mean,
like the Olsons. Yeah, I'm not kidding. It's like the Olsons are there and like the Ingalls are there.
But it's incestual as well.
Like the whole town, right? It's just crazy.
But I do want to do it. I think a live reading of it is necessary. I'll be honest.
Yeah. And then it's really, really weird. And I read maybe 5 or 6 stories, and I think in every single story that I read, there was at one point he had condom. To point out that, so they're like, out of every story it's all sexual, right? So the characters are having sex and they use condoms, but he has to point out that even with condoms there's a very, very small chance that pregnancy could still occur. I mean, I seriously read 5 or 6, and he brought it up in all of them. It's some weird fixation.
Yeah, he went to health class weird. In high school once, and that's what he learned.
It's just so weird.
Like, wait a minute, now you understand this. There's a 0.01% chance.
Yeah.
Did they have condoms back in Little House in the Prairie times?
Probably.
Well, so actually what's really weird is, and this is outside of the fan fiction, this is the actual world. I mean, they actually have had some type of condom. It has existed for thousands of years. And even around the Civil War, they started actually becoming a little bit more widespread, but it still wouldn't have really been like a common use kind of thing. And if we're talking about Walnut Grove, small town, you know, in like, you know, the 1870s or whatever, yeah, probably not too likely. Wait, that,
you want to hear a crazy fact about condoms while we're on the subject? And then we're going to get back to the roast. So the introduction was in 1844 by Charles Goodyear. Was like the first map. The first mass produced.
Wait, is it the tire guy?
Yeah, mass produced reusable rubber.
Oh, so for mass produced ones, because I think that thousands of years ago they were using like intestines and stuff, like animal intestines. Yeah. To, you know.
Now we're talking.
Oh my God.
So, yeah. Really?
So Sid Caesar's in this. Sid Caesar. Some good people in this particular. Now I want to know what they do with this man of the hour sign.
I was wondering that too. I would think Michael took that home.
Do you think that Stan Iver has it in his basement with the Little House?
So, Chris, do you know about this? Did I tell you about this? So Stan Iver is the character John Carter in Little House in like the end of season 8 and season 9, and Michael Landon let him take the facade of the Little House, and he owns it in a warehouse somewhere.
Why? To what end?
I don't know.
Why did he keep it in a warehouse?
I really was thinking about this the other day. Like, what the hell do you do with it? It's not like George Washington's like war tent or something like that, you know? It's the facade from a TV show from 50 years ago. It's kind of... You know, it's cool. I guess it's cool. Something to show people. And
admittedly, there's some fans who would probably buy it.
Or buy part. But, yeah.
You know, why you keep it in a warehouse?
Michael Landon apparently asked him to keep it. I don't know. That's the story.
It would be really funny if he has it in his basement. It's an accent wall.
It would be kind of cool. I'll admit, yeah. I wouldn't mind having...
I'd have a visual for it. I think it would be cool.
Yeah.
All right. It's actually on Wikipedia. I'm looking at his Wikipedia right now.
Stan Ivars?
It's Wikipedia says...
Stan Ivar has a Wikipedia?
He sure does. So it says, once Little House on the Prairie ended, Ivar asked if he could keep the set. The set? You mean the house? Okay. Ivar later
said he wants to own Simi Valley.
All the little shreds and the shrapnel and everything. Yeah. Ivar later disassembled the house and moved it out to his home in rural LA County. That's what it says.
In LA, I mean, who has the space in LA County? Like, it's all ranches.
And now rural LA County.
Still,
now it's a guest house.
I guess it's some ranch. They do have ranches out there, but Stan Ivar, I mean, the guy did, I mean, not putting the guy down or anything like that, but did he really even work? Like, who did he, like, I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing. But, and, you know, let's guess it's real. I have in my mind that it's real and it's in a crate somewhere. I don't know. But, all right, so this guy, I don't know who he is, but he's kind of funny. Chris, do you think they reuse some of the laugh shots?
Oh, over and over. Especially the reaction shots of him, Bordenine.
Dean Martin.
His might be, I wasn't watching him. I was the Rickles one, where he's, I don't know, he's just, Don hilarious
Rickles is the funniest person in the world, in my opinion.
Yeah,
you know, but he wasn't on this show. I was really surprised.
I thought he was funny. One of the funniest.
That's another one that sort of went on too long, especially towards the end. They're trying to reenact something. I don't know what he was doing, but it wasn't his usual shtick.
Yeah, it wasn't as usual, but at the same time, I think Don, I don't know, I laugh whenever I see Don Rickles. He's just one of these
ridiculous people. Guaranteed. He's got a lot of good zingers in the beginning, but again, once they start doing this acting thing, I was like, ooh.
One other thing I found with this particular roast that I didn't care for is it wasn't, like, mean enough. Like, Don Rickles is brutal. Like, he rips into you and makes, you know... maybe it's just, was Michael just so beloved that they were like, well, we can't really make him cry.
I would think so. Like, this is an NBC show, the Celebrity Roasts. So that's why they're, you know, first of all, that's probably why they're honoring him. But I'm sure he was like, don't you say anything bad.
Did this air on television?
Yeah. Where else?
This is way before my time. I mean, you remember this being on television, not this particular one, but you remember roasts being aired on television?
Oh, yeah. NBC, Thursday night, 10 o'clock. Huh. Absolutely.
Up and until I watched them the all. 80s, I guess. Well, you have the TV gods. You have the TV guide collection for 40 years or something.
I got to pick those up again.
You have to go through them. I say we play.
And your roastmaster, Dean Martin. And tonight's very special man of the hour, Michael Landon.
Dean Martin, who, I don't know what's going on with him, but he has like either spray tan on that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's the weirdest tan. It's so bad.
But his hands are like three shades lighter.
Yeah, they sure are.
They sure are. It's ridiculous.
They are.
It's bizarre to me. So, what do you think? The opening monologue of Dean?
Yeah, I mean, just start it.
Yeah.
That's stuff.
Whoops.
It's been said that Michael Landon is the greatest talent in television today.
Drunk or not drunk? Definitely drunk.
I think he's reading the cue cards poorly. I don't think he's drunk. I just think he's reading the cue cards poorly.
But I think he's I think he's always drunk. I mean, I don't think Dean Martin.
That's his shtick. That's his shtick. He wasn't really drunk.
You think so? Dean died from like cirrhosis of the liver. I think it was. I don't know if he died from. I actually don't know how Dean Martin died.
And tonight we're honoring the man who said it.
I kind of stepped on the joke. It's a halfway decent joke.
The greatest talent in television today, and tonight we're honoring the man who said it. Michael was born in the East. He comes from a pioneer strain. His great-great-grandmother came out west in a covered wagon and had 27 children. And believe me, that's quite a strain on any pioneer. I'll never forget the first time I met Michael Landon. It was about 10 minutes ago backstage.
I
believe it.
I like the whole thing, how they're like, I never even heard of this guy.
Yeah. I would bet that's true. Whenever people say he's a close personal friend, I'm sure that's a lie.
So, Chris, Joan Rivers or Phyllis Diller? Who's funnier?
Phyllis Diller.
Yeah, me too. What do you think, Kelly?
Wow, really?
Yeah, I like Phyllis Diller. She's raunchy and funny.
You know, I actually don't know that I really know her that much, though, from...
So Phyllis Diller.
No.
She, Kelly, you must be young.
Yeah, you're younger. That's all. Phyllis Diller, she's kind of like just a... I don't really know how to compare. I would say she was raunchy without being horrible. Mm-hmm. I felt like Joan Rivers got to be kind of a dirty comic. I don't know.
She was shrill. She was very shrill.
But I mean, she was always like on edge, which I liked. So, I do like Joan Rivers. But I don't. Yeah, I think Phyllis Diller is just funnier. Maybe because she wasn't like this, like, plastic surgery type person, you know? Maybe. I don't know. Lauren Green with the black mustache.
What is on his jacket there? I don't know.
I don't.
What are the medals or something?
They look like they're little buckles.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
You're right.
It's so weird. It's so weird because without the little buckles, it would be just kind of a normal outfit.
Yeah, it's a normal tux.
I don't know what the buckles are. And they're really weirdly placed because they're on the arms and then there's one on each side of the chest. And I think lower down too, kind of around the hip area.
I think there's jewels in them.
Extremely weird.
I think there are jewels in them because they kind of sparkle.
Yeah, they get really shiny. They look like diamonds or something.
I don't know what is going on.
It's so weird, though.
Lauren Green's another weird actor.
Well, you know that Ponderosa wealth.
They also don't see Lauren Green. They see Lauren Green, which I thought
Yeah, that's Lauren, right? Lauren. Lauren.
Lauren. Lauren. Yeah, I guess Lauren.
Lauren. Lauren.
Lauren.
Do you ever know anyone named Lauren?
I went to school with someone named Lauren.
So did I. I knew this ginger kid.
I mean, it was grad school. It wasn't,
mine was high school.
But yeah.
All right, who's this? This guy was super not funny, in my opinion. I thought he was like
an executive. Now, you don't remember? I put a link in the notes for a commercial that he used to do for Grape Nuts cereal that we used to see all the time when I was a kid.
I remember.
I never ate cereal.
Yeah, I did. It was.
I never ate that.
It's like no sweet. Kelly, you ever have Grape Nuts cereal?
I don't think I have, actually.
It's like eating a little.
Not that I can recall.
It's like rabbit food or something. I don't see a link. I don't see a link, Chris. Oh, there
it's
it is.
Not.
I see it. I'm going to bring it up. So, is it going to be. Sorry. I'm just.
It sets the context for what Yule talks about when he gets up on the stage.
Oh, that's how you spell Yule? All right.
That's kind of weird, right?
Ooh, I didn't know
Yule Gibbons. I've spent years learning about natural foods. Ever eat a pine tree? Many parts are edible.
Okay, Sully.
Natural ingredients are important to me. That's why Post Grape Nuts is part of my breakfast. This wholesome cereal is made from wheat and barley. These natural ingredients are baked into crunchy nuggets and fortified with vitamins.
If you can't finish it, can you use this concrete?
Its naturally sweet taste reminds me of wild hickory nuts.
Don't break your tooth.
I call Grape Nuts my shower, back to nature cereal.
He looks so dirty, like sweaty and... He just
who the hell is
he needs
this
a
guy?
Shower.
I don't know. I mean, was he like who's the mountain man?
He wrote,
do you remember that TV
he
show?
Wrote Grizzly Adams?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Maybe Grizzly Adams.
I think he wrote books about living off the land.
Oh.
And that's why he's the spokesman for this kind of cereal that's nuts off the trees and
he looks,
other stuff that kids will not eat.
He looks like somebody's father-in-law or something. He doesn't.
Although Michael was a superb athlete, he was never anything with the broads. He was shy. His idea of getting a girl in trouble was bringing her home after 9:30.
There are a lot of references to his wife. Of the time, he's got a great wife, he's got a great kid. And I was wondering what marriage that was.
Do you know
what marriage
that would be? That would be his second marriage. So Lynn.
Lynn.
And out of how many?
Three.
Out of three marriages. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, three? Okay.
By the way, Sid Caesar's super young here in comparison to when I've seen him. I don't know. He just.
Seen him?
Sid Caesar, he's like pretty popular. I have a few Sid Caesar records and stuff.
What?
I grew up with, listening to Sid Caesar. You have to remember, I grew up with like the Borscht Belt, So a lot of these comics my family's really familiar with because they would play in like Poconos and stuff.
Michael's taken a lot of kidding about living on the Ponderosa with three other men.
Michael didn't care for that. He was just like,
I'm sorry.
So what are you saying?
This episode has gay panic jokes, Indian stereotypes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the Chinese stereotypes.
Oh, Hop Sing? What was that about?
Oh, I mean, the whole Hop Sing thing, though. Jeez. That whole character in Bonanza, there's no way that would fly nowadays.
It was cocaine.
I mean, his own character in Bonanza.
Sorry.
That's why I love this show. It's
basically like that, you know?
But I just didn't understand. Yeah, his character is definitely like that, but it was so weird. Like, that was a weird one.
Yeah.
He's so dark.
But didn't he die in some really weird way, Mark?
He died, like, super penniless.
No way, really?
He really, I think, at this period of time, like, he made some really bad investments. I forget what the thing, there was, like, something weird. I hate to say, like, if somebody committed suicide, but I don't know if he did. Chris, do you mind doing a quick little fact check on that?
Sure.
I happen to know he's a two-fisted drinker, a carton of milk in each hand.
So, what is the deal with the milk? Was Little Joe a big milk drinker? I don't really remember that from Bonanza.
See, I thought they were just... I thought they were just saying that he's like...
Like straight edge? I don't know. But it gets like a big laugh.
If they're saying that he's kind of straight edge or something, or is it that he's totally not and that's what makes it funny? I don't know. But as we know, Mark, because we've had this conversation, we know that he's not. But then also during the Bonanza years when he was a super big pill addict, as we talked about, right?
I forget the drug that you were saying, but we had looked it up and it was like a serious drug.
And he took. Like he was up to 30 pills a day at one point or something, it said. I mean, he was a serious addict. I don't know. But then even when he gave that up, I mean, he still was drinking a lot.
So is 30 pills bad? No, I'm just kidding.
I have that before breakfast.
First I wake and bake, and then I take my fistful of pills.
Yeah.
This is a piece, if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, totally.
While Michael was one of the Cartwrights, he was so busy mending fences, plowing the fields, and branding cattle, there was no time for romance in his life, except in one episode. He fell in love with a horse that shaved its legs.
Some of these jokes, I mean... They're not that
really
funny.
Bad. No.
And they're like, yeah, funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
And thing is that not only is it not that funny, it's also kind of not really true because on Bonanza, Little Joe actually was engaged a bunch of times. I mean, he had a lot of women on Bonanza.
Yeah, and the Twilight Zone episode, you know? Remember the Twilight Zone episode?
Twilight Zone?
Not really Twilight Zone, but it was kind of like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, there's this episode of Bonanza called, wasn't it called Twilight Town or something?
Yeah, I think it was.
It was a very Michael Landon-centric episode.
That's why I have this. Ends up
in this town where he...
There is a fifth dimension.
So he ends up in this town where...
they want him to stay, right?
It's weird.
And fight for them.
Yeah, but it was not really like a real town. I don't know. It was weird. It was it was sort of like an alternate reality kind of town. It was really weird.
Yeah, it's very odd.
It was kind of like Bonanza trying to be,
That guy is just not that funny.
You know, we all owe a lot to Mike. He's done so much for the West.
Actually, to both of you, this is what we picture all of our podcast listeners doing when we say a joke. It's like,
that's the one.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I picture, like, every listener carrying. I love our listeners. When they show this guy again, we have to look for the cigarette, because I think they use this over and over again.
To Mike, he's done so much for the West. He put Tucson on the map, El Paso, San Antonio, Santa Fe, but I'm laying 8 to 5. He can't do anything for Pasadena.
Pasadena.
Do you know this
I think these are just like really outdated and stuff. Some of the jokes, I don't know. I don't get it, I guess. Like, how did he put them on the map? Is it because of Bonanza?
I have no idea, especially all of those places.
I don't know.
Even when his father gave him a new sports car for graduation, it didn't help. I'll tell you that. Michael's the only guy that ever took a girl for a ride in a Triumph and came back a failure.
All right, so Michael, for one, did he even know his father? What was the issue probably with his father? Like, he didn't have a great relationship, right?
He knew his, because his parents were married when, you know, throughout his childhood and everything. But his parents had a really bad marriage, and his mother was very emotionally and psychologically abusive.
Yeah.
And then his father, I'm trying to remember if his father had any specific issues. I mean, they were just very, you know, it was a very kind of conflict-ridden household.
Yeah.
But yeah, he knew his father and everything.
For some reason, I never really thought about his father. For whatever reason, I thought he was out of the picture. I guess I'm talking about my own life.
Maybe it seems that way because what you kind of hear about is his mother and, you know, how his mother was really abusive and all the messed up stuff that she did. But I guess you don't really hear as much about his father.
I think I'm just deflecting my own life into Michael Landon's life.
Here's the woman of whom...
I would say the bigger star here right now is probably Ernest Borgnine, who I did just watch the Poseidon Adventure just a couple weeks ago. And he was, like, so good in that. I don't know if you guys...
He was, yes.
And it was just, I would say at this period of time, he's probably the biggest star. Like, what is anyone else doing? I mean, Michael Landon is, but even Phyllis Diller, what was she really doing in 75?
What was she, you know, I know she's a comedian, but like, where did people see her? I guess on variety shows.
Yeah, variety shows. That was about it.
Well, then, like Norm Crosby, like where did people see him? I think these were just Vegas staples who were...
Yeah, I think that too. I think they just landed on the strip and they stayed there. And how come, I don't know, we don't have like really big players in this, like Sammy Davis Jr. But I don't know that Sammy Davis Jr. would have anything to do with Michael Landon in real life. So, or Dean Martin. I can't picture Dean Martin and Michael Landon spending time together. Or really, really any of these people.
Anybody. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the woman with the big frosted hair. Maybe her. Because at least she comes from, what was it, Gunsmoke? I forget what show she was on. At least it's in the same vicinity.
Yeah. Picasso once said, somebody throw a drop cloth over that. But I really love her, and she's beautiful. Miss Phyllis Diller.
So I thought Phyllis Diller had a really great joke in the very beginning of this with the makeup. Look at that cigarette holder. It's like, if you're going to smoke, you may as well have a cigarette holder.
Everybody is smoking.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dean. You better
I get to sit down.
And you better behave yourself.
I will, honey.
Or I'll come up to your room later without my makeup.
Look how dark his face is. Jeez.
His facial expression is hilarious right there.
Yeah, that's like... Was this like a huge success?
He's pretty tan, too.
Yeah. There's a few of them that are really, really tan. Not her. So should I, what do you think I should play next?
We can skip around. That's what's great about this show. We could skip around. So
Joey Bishop, if you wanna, I mean, is very funny. Not on this, but he is very funny.
If you want to do a little bit, if you want to do a little bit of Hop Sing, I can relate what happened to him, which is really,
oh yeah.
Oh my God.
All right, so what can do you have a time code for Hop Sing? I can find it.
Yeah, hold on. 38 08.
All right, so we're going to jump around there because we're going to go back. 3808?
Yeah.
It's a lot of fake applause. Like, that's one thing that the 70s was really big for. It's like hell.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Victor Senyoung, better known to all you Bonanza fans as Hup Sing.
So I'm going to play a little bit of him.
As an Asian man, I'm just surprised that he did this.
I'm Asian. You know, we're all Asian, right? Caucasian.
It's weird though, because this is so his character on Bonanza, but even that whole character is just really kind of surprising.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit culturally insensitive.
I mean, it really, it is so, which, I mean, Bonanza, granted, there are kind of a lot of.
Oh, did we lose Kelly?
You know, but oh, no. Even in light we of all that, for a Hup Sing, still kind of weird. What is going on there?
But, you know, Bonanza was, you vanished for a second. I think you got censored. Just a second. Oh. You're back now. So Bonanza was what, 1958 to like 72? Does that sound about right?
It was 14 years. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
So I went through the entire 60s. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on, and especially in the early 60s with Asian people in media. Ugh. All right, let's
look good. I see you still wear the same suit you wear for your bar mitzvah. And Mr. Ben coming back to the Pandalosa.
Pandalosa.
Hup Sing cooked very fine dinner 5 years ago.
So who owned Ponderosa's, the restaurant? Do you guys remember?
I think that's unrelated.
No. Was it?
Well, it had nothing to do with.
Hold on. I'm looking it up. Well, there's the Ponderosa and Bonanza Steakhouse, which I think is open right now.
What?
Wait, there's several of them. Chris, you might have to call.
Wow.
Wait. Can I speak to Hup Sing? This, I had no idea. All right, so these aren't too far from me in Pennsylvania. Lebanon.
The Bonanza Steakhouse chain was actually started in 1963 by Dan Blocker, who played Haas.
I knew it. See?
Wow.
Yeah.
I know things, Chris. And Kelly. This is your closest one. That's not close to you at all. I'm trying to. Oh, yeah. All right. This so Lebanon, Virginia.
Is this all in the South? I'm trying to see.
No, not totally. I mean.
Well, as of December 2024, only 12 Ponderosa locations and 3 Bonanza locations currently remain open in the U.S.
I've never seen one. But, no, Ponderosas were around when I was a kid. They were like Beefsteak Charlie's.
Yeah, I kind of remember Ponderosa when I was a kid, but I don't think we could afford to go there.
Oh, it was like a franchise thing.
Hey, just FYI, I went for the first time to an Outback Steakhouse.
Really?
And I liked it.
Did you get the Bloomin' Onion?
No, I did see it, though.
You got to get the Bloomin' Onion.
Who wants to eat that?
What are you?
I don't know. I don't think I could do it.
What are you, a goddamn vegan? What the hell's wrong with you? It's fried. It's eaten. What did you eat?
I would need Hup Sing to cook it.
Hup Sing, he make good onion.
Very bloomy. Very bloom.
So Dan, Dan Blocker owned it. I wonder if his son got it. You know?
My letter is T.
He opened a tea house, you know.
Yeah, the tea house.
Nor can keep dinner warm much longer.
All right, so what happened to Hop Sing? Chris, so what's the history? Like, what happened to this poor guy?
Well, just one incident that happened in 1972. He was on a Pacific Southwest Airlines, which was hijacked.
Oh, my God.
And when the FBI stormed the plane, there was gunfire, and he got shot in the lower back.
What?
He and another passenger were wounded, but they survived. A third passenger and two hijackers were killed. Now, in 1980, he was running a small mail-order Chinese pottery business and was creating the clayware and curing the items with an oven and died of natural gas poisoning.
Oh, my God. From carbon monoxide.
Wow.
Police ultimately ruled the death accidental.
Was he...
The eulogy at his funeral was given by fellow Bonanza actor Pernell Roberts when Michael Landau refused to show up.
Seriously? Is it
saying that? No, I just the Pernell Roberts is true.
What? That's really Michael Landau refused to show up.
That's the most terrible thing I've ever heard.
That's just really funny.
Oh my! But to get imagine getting shot. I mean, on a plane.
Yeah, really. I hope he collected money.
Crazy. And Hop Sing get shot.
Wow,
that's crazy.
I wonder if that even made the papers. Like,
it must.
That
have.
Is such a sad end. I was like, oh my.
Yeah, carbon monoxide poisoning. It's crazy. His face is ridiculous. But
Hop Sing meet Little Joe. Hop Sing spoke perfectly good English without the slightest trace of an accent.
So I guess that's his real voice. Or it's his impersonation of an American accent.
I'm wondering if that must be his real voice. And yeah, I was like, wow, degraded himself.
Didn't degrade.
By doing Asian accent.
I wouldn't say it's degrading. I think it's more along the lines of, you know, especially for the time.
This is how I work.
A legendary character. I mean, had the business evolved to where it is now, right? I don't know, is evolved the right word? But he could have cashed out a lot more if people paid more attention to their contracts back then. I mean, a 14-year run. I mean, the guy was probably on hundreds of episodes. There was no reason for him to ever work again, really.
Well, I don't know. Like, he's so far down in the cast list.
Yeah, but you look.
He had like what, 5 minutes maybe on a show.
Yeah, but he had a speaking role. It was kind of a legendary character, a character that was well known. There weren't that many characters on the show to begin with.
True.
I mean, I'm not saying he should get top billing.
When you're talking like regular characters, yeah.
You know,
there are a lot of one-timers, you know, but as far as the regular characters, pretty limited.
Like Pernell, for instance, you know, once he left the show, I don't know if he even do anything after, really?
Yeah, he did the Trapper John series.
Oh, really? I never watched that.
I don't know what year that was.
Was he Trapper John?
He was.
So he's that guy, Trapper John MD, like on the cover of all of that?
Right, he's supposed to be, what was that case? Wayne Rogers as an old man.
Hold on one second, Trapper.
Oh yeah, that's totally him. Yeah, interesting.
Huh.
I know things, Kelly and Mark. Give me the applause. Give me the fake applause.
Where do I have? All I have is sympathy laughs.
Oh. Well, that works too.
Wow. I had no idea that he was on the show. That's crazy.
That's really interesting.
Good for you, Chris. Thanks for that fun fact.
A little tidbit.
All right. Let's see. What, let's go back a little bit. Ernest Borgnine.
We have to play we have to do Lorne Greene too.
Yeah, Lorne Greene. I'll play him next. Let's get a time.
Do you think they remained friends? He's at 2809. Do you think they remained friends after the show?
He is on an episode of Highway to Heaven. So.
Oh, he is? Know. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that suggests some level of contact, maybe.
Now, what was he on Buck Rogers contact, by this point? Well, Buck Rogers was what, 78, 77, Chris?
78, yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder,
actually, maybe even a little later, 79.
But Lorne Greene was doing nature shows, right? I'm pretty sure that's what he was busy doing throughout the 70s. I'll look him up real quick.
I'm trying to do that.
Because I knew Lorne Greene from a lot of things, and then I knew him from Buck Rogers.
He was not on Buck Rogers.
Not Buck Rogers. Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, that one. Which I like more than...
Kelly's rolling her eyes so hard that I can hear it.
Battlestar Galactica. I like that show better than Buck Rogers.
Buck. You don't like to have stuttering robots? they did. They had a stuttering robot named Twiggy, right? I'm sorry. So, all right. So, after Bonanza, he did a bunch of stuff I've never heard of. Like, a lot of stuff. He was in two episodes of Roots. But who wasn't?
He was in the movie Earthquake. Come on, you got to remember that.
That was a TV movie?
No, that was a... Oh, my God. No, that was a theatrical...
Excuse me. Excuse me for not remembering a terrible movie. So, Happy Days, he did an episode. But, yeah, he didn't do that much. I don't know why I know him.
He was on Happy Days?
One episode.
I wonder as what? That must be a late episode when I cashed out of that show.
It said uncredited. It's
So it must be a cameo.
Yeah. You know what? It's Hollywood. So I think they go to Hollywood and they see him working on one of the shows that he didn't do. All right, let's get back to it. So I'm gonna play some of Lorne Greene. I like Lorne Greene actually. I just don't know why I knew him when I was a kid. This guy's face is bananas.
Does he dye his hair? Yes or no?
Yes. Yeah, of course he does.
It looks so unnatural.
Yeah. Do you guys watch The Office at all? Chris, I know you don't.
Uh-huh.
This looks like Dwight's shirt, this mustard color. This is like the worst color I've ever seen in my life. I hate this color. It's just too vivid. But if you take this down, it could be a good color.
I don't like the brown on the photo or the walls behind them. I don't like that either.
That I don't mind so much. I just don't like that that mustard color.
That is terrible, yeah.
Oh my God, so much applause.
It's time to introduce Lorne Greene, who practically raised Michael Landon on television. Everybody wonders why.
It's like the equivalent of a podcast, right? That we're watching.
Lorne's hair turned white so early. You see, when Lorne was a baby, his mother used to put the talcum powder on the wrong end.
If I was wasted right now, I'd be like, ha! But it's just... And we don't know who this guy really is, right? But he wasn't so bad. Chris, do you know
who this guy is? I've heard of him. I don't know where I would have seen him outside of shows like this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he had some funny lines. It's a good delivery.
He looks like Charles Bronson or something.
Whoa.
Not really. I mean, he's not Charles Bronson, but I'm saying he has like that similar kind of squinty look.
Here's the puppy of the Ponderosa.
I get the impression that these two didn't get along after Bonanza, or maybe towards the end. I don't know why I feel that way, but it just, I don't know, something. Like, I feel like Lorne Greene is probably like, well, I gave this guy a chance, and now he's blown up, and he's huge.
He's not putting me on his new show.
Yeah, he never made it to Little House. Maybe he didn't want to be. It's definitely possible.
Mr. Lorne Green.
But ladies and gentlemen, and Don Rickles.
This is such an old joke. You know, even back then it's kind of...
Members of the dais, honored guests, son.
So I thought this was actually nice. I just didn't know, like, I don't know. I'm just not sure if it's, it seemed genuine from Michael.
Look at Lauren Green. He's like, get off me. Get the fuck off.
Very sentimental. I'd like to say, sit up straight.
So I thought that was like well timed.
Well, it's
so.
Really, it's real. I mean, they make a lot of really funny bonanza jokes in here, but it's really funny because we talked about this, Mark, on Land and Nation before, that these kids that are, I mean, they're not even kids, they're full-blown adults.
He even references at them it.
Because they got drunk or something. It's just like completely ridiculous.
Yeah. And the way
in line with that.
Yeah. And he even he calls it out and the absurdity of it.
Keep your hands off the table and put the cigarettes away. Put on your shoes. Mike, you're a little excited tonight. There's no school tomorrow. We all know that we played father and son on the show. And in many ways, that relationship was very real. And it still exists. To this day, he treats me like a father. Never thinks of me.
Never. By the way, that Michael Landon laugh, I just think it's so genuine from him. The And we do have a clip here. Chris... pointed out. Where is it? Dang it. I have it here somewhere. Any minute.
It was from the Phyllis. It was from the Phyllis clip.
No, but it's in my thing here. You know, it's just so, I don't know, it's a laugh that really you don't hear from anyone else.
Come see me. Didn't call me on Father's Day. I remember when I first met Mike, I was sitting and talking to Pernell Roberts, who played my oldest son, who calls every week. And they brought in this...
You notice Dean is, I don't know what he's doing. He's struggling to light his cigarette.
Wait, you can see his hand and face color difference when he holds his.
Oh my God, it's like shocking.
Mike, I was sitting and talking to Pernell Roberts, who played my oldest son, who calls every.
Look at that. It's like he has like a pair of white gloves on.
Every week. And they brought in this shy, awkward kid who didn't know what he wanted to do. And look at him. Actor, writer, producer, director, still doesn't know what he wants to do.
So I wonder, like, so they, it looks like there's a huge audience here as well. I guess you could buy tickets to these things and just watch them live. Vegas. I mean, obviously. I mean, I don't know why I always thought that these were Friars roasts. I mean, that's another thing, right? Friars?
That's a separate thing, yeah.
But did they televise those? Because I think that some of those are filmed.
Yeah, you want to hear that? You could find those on Tubi.
Oh, really?
There is some old Friars thing. I think Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, is it a little bit of an older generation? Parts. Like, is it like the before these people?
I think it's 68. Yeah, it's like 68.
Yeah. Because you'll have people like Red Buttons on. I mean, was Red Buttons on this? Not in this.
Yeah, we would see him here. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So maybe there's a lot of overlap.
But even at that first audition, Michael had what it took to get a leading role on a successful television show.
Look at this ridiculous, those buckles. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's just so weird.
And his shirt?
I think Kelly's right, though, that I think there are diamonds in those buckles things.
Yeah, I think that there's something. And the ruffles are very strange. They're like waves on his shirt. What the hell are you wearing? What's LG wearing right here? Those little microphones. Those little microphones are hilarious. They look like wrenches.
Photographs of the producer coming out of a motel in Tijuana. And I just knew he would make it big because the first day in Bonanza, he came in and he looked at the Ponderosa and he said, "Someday, all this would be mine." And then he loosened the brakes on my car.
So that's a decent joke. I like the joke where he said that he had to sleep with himself.
That's like the last one, I think.
I must say, though, it's wonderful that we all ended up on Bonanza. I mean, there we were, a 47-year-old father and 3 40-year-old sons.
That's amazing.
The boys are all fine young men. I mean, I did my best for them. I did everything I could. They didn't fight. They didn't drink. They didn't smoke. They didn't go out with girls. What did I go wrong? The truth of the matter is that Mike has a lovely home, has a beautiful wife, a beautiful family. He's a loving husband and father.
For now.
And I feel toward him as I do toward my own son. That's the truth. I cut him out of my will, too. So,
I think that's a pretty solid joke. Yeah. Jeez, the applause is banana. Like, yeah. Maybe he didn't say it, but he said that's someone else. And Sid Caesar is funny, but he's not that funny.
This shtick is not funny.
The funniest thing is when he says, you ride the horse and the girl you kiss, you know?
Yeah.
She's not funny.
She's not funny. I didn't know who she was.
I still don't know who she is. She's apparently the bartender in.
She was on Gunsmoke.
Yeah. I never watched.
I think she was a madam on Gunsmoke.
Oh,
but
really?
I never watched Gunsmoke. So I don't know.
Kelly, you ever watched Gunsmoke?
No, not really, but I do know who she is.
Okay.
I've seen mostly the credits of Gunsmoke, because it would like come on TV and then I would switch the channel, but I've seen the credits enough to know who she is, I guess, from that.
All right, so this guy's face.
Another successful episode.
What do you think should be next? Let's see.
We did
the Dean. Yeah. But Don Rickles. I mean, you didn't like Don Rickles, Chris?
I liked when he started, but he just did something so unusual that it wasn't funny.
I mean, I definitely think that the reenacting thing started out solid, but then it kind of it started to turn into drunk uncle territory.
Well, if you want to start him, I mean, he's got some good ones in the beginning.
Kelly, do you know Don Rickles?
I do, yeah. Okay. I mean, not well, but enough that I recognize him.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a night. What an exciting night. Hey, thank you so much. This is, who are we honoring?
I just love this.
just want you to know what a kick it is. Who's the guy? What's his name? Attaboy. Michael Landon. Hey, Bonanza, from the bottom of my heart, I never liked that show. Show I ever saw in my life, with the calves and the horses and everybody in heat. Forget that.
And everyone in heat.
Amanda Blake, bless your heart. Jim Ornes is one of my favorite actors. I was with him once, and he said to me in a drugstore, "Get out of the way, you're blocking the magazine counter." Ernest Borgnine on the Poseidon. Ernie, you're a fantastic actor, as Marty in that wonderful picture when you said, I need a broad.
Still looking at this guy's piece.
The best thing he did. What was that picture he did?
Marty.
No, the other picture. The one with Frank. The one, Frank, our idol.
Oh, Frank Marty.
Frank Marty, right. From here to eternity. When he said and said to Frank Sinatra, one of the great Italians, he said, "Now you're going to get yours. You're going in the stockade." And Frank was an actor. And beautiful Frank said, "Is this just for the movie?"
This is where he starts going off the rails right around here. Like, yeah, when he starts getting, like, physical, it's...
Humming and singing all the rodeo songs that we all love. I want to be with you so much. And you know, I kid about this man. Rise, Michael.
This I thought was funny. I kind of want to do this to somebody. Rise.
if I may...
So, yeah, I'm going to skip through this because it's just silly. I mean, it's just so...
It goes on.
I think it's kind of funny, but it's definitely a physical thing that really has to be watched and how uncomfortable Michael Landon is. It's like, what the hell is going on? Like, he doesn't know how to respond to him. Let's see.
Were you going to play Ernest Borgnine?
Yeah. Let's have a clip of that.
That's back in...
Yeah, do you have a number? Yeah, I got it, 629. This is before all the alcohol started really kicking in with everyone. God, this applause is so crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, real fine right there. That great guy, Mr. Ernest Borgnine.
He's definitely drunk. Ernest Borgnine. I think out of all these people, Ernest Borgnine is the only one who's on Little House, right?
He was on Little House? Which episode was he on?
He played God, right? Kelly?
Yeah, when they had the sun and it dies,
yeah,
he was the angel or whatever that Laura, when she goes up on the mountain, encounters.
But I can't think of anyone else who's in this roast. Would like to have Dean Martin show up. Imagine Don Rickles on Little House. I just couldn't picture it.
Well, I'm here tonight because, well, Michael is a close personal friend of mine. He's a pal. He's a buddy. And he's a punk.
And he's a punk.
I've been watching Little House on the Prairie, as everybody else has too. Now, wholesome shows like his are making bad guys an endangered species. You know, I stood in the unemployment line yesterday with Howard Cosell, Don Rickles, and Martin Borman. And Borman's the only one with a series next year.
So who's Martin Borman?
Now, I look that up because I'm who?
Yeah,
and he's talking about a Nazi. He's talking about a Nazi.
like a real Nazi who like
a real Nazi.
So was there a documentary coming out about Nazis or something?
I have no idea. That Wikipedia didn't go into. He was a German Nazi Party official.
So I'm going to guess like he has like some documentary that he participated in. That's crazy.
Private secretary to Adolf Hitler.
What? And was he alive?
Does
it say when he died?
Timely reference.
Yeah, seriously.
He was dead in 1945.
Oh.
Still, I don't understand.
Yeah, like I don't get the reference. It's unless there was a documentary about him.
There is no other Martin Bormann anywhere.
All right. I mean, that's a laugh riot.
I don't know. Can you get away with a Nazi joke in these times?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you could. Yeah, nowadays you can, but. Yeah, you're right. It's like Martin Bormann. Huh.
I don't know what's going on there.
Let's face it. If you're doing a Western, you need heavies. Guys like me, buddy. Because in a Wild Bunch, I remember I burnt down half the town, killed 237 guys. And as I run out of town, I stuck my tongue out at a kid.
Yeah, you heard Michael Hendon in the background.
You be out of town.
This is a good joke.
By the 11 o'clock news, buddy, because I'm going to come to the little house on the prairie, stampede your cattle, burn down your house, and steal your hair blower.
Yeah.
Your hair blower. So I'm still looking up this Martin Bormann thing, but
you're stuck on that one.
I mean, it's so like such a random joke. Yeah, there's like no documentary that came out in 75 or 76. It's a hunt.
Ever.
The hunt for Martin Bormann. But
that's much later, though, isn't
it?
Yeah,
that's much later. Hitler's Circle of Evil in 2018. Yeah. Oh, well. So, yeah, I like most. This guy was funny. He was a little deadpan, I think, for a lot of people. I always like the joke, a joke where he gets the names all wrong. And he also is like, yeah, I like sitting next to these people because I have to explain the jokes to them.
Yeah, that was
which I think we just missed.
I'll tell you what a thrill it is sitting next to Cliff Robinson and Yul Gibbons explaining the jokes to them. I want to sit down quickly before he eats my chair. I just want to say that it's a big thrill for me to be here honoring Michael London. I only watched your show once. Not this one. The one with the two brothers and the ranch and all that. It was on for 14 years. One time I watched it. In the show they kept calling you Little Joe, Little Joe. I thought they were saying Little Jew, so I turned it off. I wish to apologize to you for the 14 years. I didn't watch the show when you were doing Banana.
And it's funny because we call
it Bonanza. That's what you call it, Mark.
Because I can never type Bonanza correctly, so I'll always type Banana instead.
Bonanza.
Bonanza. Okay, Banana. What's the difference? Only watch it once in
14 years. What's the difference?
14 years. Remember also you had two brothers, right? Hoss and Adam. Correct? I also have two brothers, Moish and Hesh. Now, if you're going to do a series about real life, you should have done it about me and my two brothers. It wasn't the West, it was the South. South Philadelphia. That was struggling. How we struggled. What do you know about struggling with the Ponderosa? In your series, you each had your own bed. My two brothers and I slept in the same bed. I didn't get to sleep alone till I got married.
That's a decent joke. So what I like about this guy is he does remind me of like those late 50s and 60s comics. Like that, like blah, blah, blah.
Jewish comics.
Well, yeah, he's a Jewish comic.
Like the Catskills, like you said, right?
Yeah, kind of. Like a Sid Caesar and all these guys. Sid Caesar, I don't think he's Jewish, though. But, yeah, like the Borscht Belt type of people.
You also didn't struggle too much in your series, Banzai.
Banana.
Banana. Well, I said, I don't remember. You and your brothers, you had it good. You had your own horses, plenty of food to eat. Everything you wanted. My two brothers and I, we were poor. We didn't have a single toy between us. All we had was a piece of wood. We played with that. We were satisfied. We took that piece of wood, carved it in the shape of a gun, and held up a toy store. Now, Michael, congratulations. You're in order. You're on a hit show, The Little Mouse on the Prairie.
House!
I don't know what that. I never watched it. I told you, I only watched your other show, Banami, once. And this one... The Little Louse on the Prairie, I never even saw. You want me to be honest with you? I never even saw you before. What's more, I'm not even so sure I want to look at you now. So if you don't mind, I'll do my stuff here. Because from what I understand, watching you or looking at you could be dangerous to your health. That's why I'm here tonight, to warn America about the hazards of watching your new show. The Surgeon General has just released a report showing what happens to people while you are on the air. During last week's show alone, 18,000 people yawned so much they fractured their jaws. But I say this to you, Michael, in all sincerity, for the health and safety of all of us Americans, get the hell off the TV.
So, I thought it was okay.
Look at Dean's hand.
Do you know?
Oh my God, that's crazy. Oh man. It's ridiculous. I'm just taking a screenshot. That's ridiculous.
Do you know who I found to be the funniest on the show?
Who? Michael Landon?
Michael Landon. Yeah, he had the funniest.
Actually, I thought he was very witty and his jokes about were really, really well crafted.
Yeah, I'm going to go to him next. And I mean, granted, they gave him the best writing, you know, but I thought he delivered okay. I don't think he was great, but. Yeah.
And I like his cool glasses.
I think they're Gazelles
or they're Carreras or some like expensive brand. And
they have a name, really?
Yeah, like well, Gazelles were like big with like Run DMC in the '80s. Let me see if I can find my UB Ellen here.
UB Ellen,
you know. But the Carrera glasses were a really big deal. But I think those are like rounded or something. But Kelly, those pictures that are on Reddit that I sent you, those, mm-hmm. He has these glasses on, right? Or something similar?
I'm trying to remember because he also, I've seen them in also ones with black frames.
Yeah.
But yeah. At any rate, he used to have these, I guess, kind of cool.
Yeah, they're kind of cool. They're very glossy. That's one thing I noticed. Mm-hmm. I noticed that with most older glasses. Like, modern glasses are just not as reflective, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. This has been a very unusual evening for me.
Those are actually kind of cool. I mean,
I think they look nice.
I would wear them as sunglasses. I don't think I could pull off glasses that big as regular readers, but...
To say the least. I'm a little nervous being up here. I'm not a comedian. I'm not used to getting laughs. And I can see that none of you are either.
I feel like he knew what the joke was that was coming, and he kind of stepped on his line there. I think Michael could have delivered that better, but it's not his fault. Because got stepped on.
It's always nice to see Joey Bishop here. I asked to have Joey on the show. I wanted someone who's just as funny as Yul Gibbons.
See, now I understand why that's funny. All right.
Why weren't you?
Why weren't you?
And Amanda Blake. Oh, man, it's very nice seeing you here, even though I did ask for Barbara Stanwyck. Yeah, I, I wish, Amanda, that you and Dean could be on my new series. You could run the saloon, and Dean, of course, you would be the town drunk. Well, Dean's got so many grapes in him, he's being picketed by Cesar Chavez.
I'm not sure I get that one.
Yeah, like, I don't get the why... Cesar Chavez.
One. Chavez. Yeah, I don't... what does he have to do with grapes?
I don't know. Is there a smuggling operation going on?
Coffee, maybe.
Grape nuts? I don't know. There's so many things that time has forgotten.
There's another bonanza on this here, of course. A Chinese cook, Victor Senyang. I want Victor to know you might have gotten a little more laughs, but you didn't listen to me. I told you, don't use the jokes in column A.
One thing that's I like good. About that's
yeah. having the whole Cartwright family together. With four Cartwrights, you get egg roll and wonton and plus. Now, Jan Murray, your credit to the name Murray. Funnier than Catherine, but not as funny as Arthur. And Ernie Borg now. Ernie, I saw you in the Poseidon Adventure, and I want you to know when that ship went down, I think your monologue should have gone down with it. Finished working together. He's a very dear friend of mine. I'm very happy you came, Ernie, because we had three empty seats.
So I guess that's a reference to when he was on the show.
I was just going to ask. So that was a season one show. Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But if this is 75, I mean, we don't. Do you know when this aired, Chris?
That I don't. Yeah. That I don't.
See my good friend Cliff Robertson. Cliff is a man of many, many talents, and none of which were evident tonight. I'm very happy to see Lauren Green. Lauren and I have been very, very close for a number of years.
He looks almost nervous to hear what Michael Landon's going to say.
Probably too close.
That's where I thought things were going to go a little spicy.
Was there when Lauren won the West, and tonight, Lauren, I was here to see you lose the audience. No, Lauren was wonderful. It was a lot of good years. Lauren played my father on Bonanza for 14 years, and I'll never forget those days. Never forget the times that I used to wander into the room at night and say, Lauren, please, can I have the keys to the horse? You know, you people out there think you know Don Rickles. I know Don Rickles. To a lot of you people out there, Don is, well, he's first disgusting. He's obscene. And then he's lewd. But to those of us who know him and love him, he's exactly the opposite. First he's lewd, then he's obscene, then he's disgusting. This has been a fun evening. You're all of you up here on the dais, very big talents. But the fact that you're all big in television doesn't really mean that much to me. Let's face it, television is an invention where you're entertained in your living room by people you wouldn't have in your house.
Michael Landon, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, I thought that was a pretty good
one. So that joke at the end, I think it's pretty clever, but it's actually kind of strangely deep.
Yeah, like, yeah, you know. It's like, it really is, and there's a certain honesty there. The only joke I thought that was not good with him was the keys to the horse. I thought that was just dopey.
Mm. Yeah, I thought that felt a little flat, actually. Yeah.
But you're right, his little quip at the end there, basically saying, let's listen to it one more time.
You're entertained in your living room by people you wouldn't have in your house.
It's kind of true.
That applies to podcasters.
It's true.
Well, so really, though, if we want to break it down a little bit, because we've talked about this kind of a lot, I think, on Landon Nation and also Dr. Quincast, because I think that the audiences for, you know, Little House and Dr. Quinn often sort of suffer from the what I've called the Michael Landon syndrome, where they just cannot separate the real person from the characters that they play on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of times, you know, actors, of course, well, I mean, they're people and they're not, I mean, we know that Michael Landon, we know that, you know, he had some flaws. Really good parts of his life, but he also has some unsavory parts. You know, I mean, it's like a mixed bag, like a lot of people are. I mean, most people are kind of a mixed bag to some extent, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of, you know, actors and actresses are very flawed, and, you know, some have some really even major problems, but they're really, really good at their craft, right? So people are huge fans of them, but it's, you know, they're just, you know, not... And a lot of times they're really, like, you know, not very savory people, you know, but you love their work. And I just think that that line that he has is actually kind of really deep in that respect where.
Yeah, I mean, you can apply that to so many people. Like, you know, like Woody Allen is a good example. I love, love, love Woody Allen. But, you know, I don't. I don't know if I trust Woody Allen. You know, like, I think he's also a fairly immoral person. But, yeah, I mean, or a lot of these actors or actresses who cheat on their spouses and they're just so open about it and they just kind of dump them and move on. It's crazy. And like Patton Oswalt is a good example of a new one, you know? His wife died and he was like with another woman. Like he was basically remarried 6 months later. It's like, that's crazy. And I think he's very talented too.
19th century stuff right there.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. I mean... It's like, well, how long do you want him to mourn? It's like, longer than 6 months. He was with her for like 20 years. And the woman and she died like suddenly in like her sleep. It was a very, very, people should just do That's a quick crazy. Google search on that, a little cursory search on Patton Oswalt and his first wife. I'm not saying he murdered her. That's not what I'm saying. But I wouldn't be surprised. So, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of unsavory people. There's a lot of savory things. But, yeah, but the Michael Landon syndrome thing, it's kind of like they can't separate the Charles Ingalls character from the Michael Landon character.
Well, so kind of the thing with the Michael Landon syndrome is that they think that Michael Landon is someone that they would want to have at their house. Which, I mean, actually, I think in a lot of ways he was really... you know, had a lot of really great qualities. It was very funny. And I've heard a lot of really good things about him. Right. But, people with the Michael Landon syndrome kind of seem to think that he actually was, you know, Charles Ingalls or he actually was Jonathan Smith or something. So it's like, they act like if Michael Landon came over to their house, like he would be acting like Charles Ingalls or something,
right?
Which he totally would not, because I mean, that was just a part that he played.
But we see that with the other people when they go to these conventions and they go up to, like, Alison Arngrim, who maybe she bought into it a little bit, too, you know, in kind of a nutty way, where she kind of plays into it a little bit, which I guess I can't blame her because it's her biggest role, right? But there's, I think it could be dangerous, too. As we've learned, some of these people out there are kind of nutty, like Linnell.
And I mean, Linnell, I know, has been a little bit too involved with, I don't know, just stuff online and sending gifts and things like that.
So just being overly
cast members of Little House, and it's just really weird. But I think that really the around COVID, I think is kind of when it seemed to me anyway, like it really, really ramped up because Allison at the beginning of COVID started doing that thing where she was reading the Little House books every day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Dean Butler got in on doing that. And then the next thing you know, Allison is doing, like, cooking videos. With just with just this kind of automatically built audience of these fans who are just basically willing to eat up anything, you know, that they put out. Which I'm not saying that to, you know, criticize them, like, you know, the actors necessarily. But there's just this fan base that... anything that they're involved in, you know, they're automatically going to just be into it just because it's them and they're doing it.
And sometimes it's like they're rabid, like, you know, like it's like, oh my God, tone it down just a little bit.
Yeah. The but fans, then also I these mean. People, like, you know, these people, these kind of crazy fans like that just absolutely just cannot accept any criticism of anything whatsoever without taking it almost like way too personally. You know, it's just really weird.
Well, when I first started the WannaGrovecast, I used to get a lot of hate mail. I don't get anything anymore.
But people gave up.
People don't listen anymore.
It's kind of like it's kind of like when we started Dr. Quincast, we got a fair amount of people who had problems with us, and we kind of ignored them.
Really?
Every once in a while, you know, someone would say that they hope that it would get better, and they would have some suggestions for what they thought would make it better. And then basically the strategy that Mark and I have employed is that whatever somebody would think is wrong with the show, we would just amplify that.
Yes.
So that is really what we did. We would just amplify it. And, so if anybody says that they just started listening to the show, because every once in a while someone will say that they're listening to the early episodes and they maybe have some issue with it, or they're hoping it gets better, and I just want to tell them, I promise you, it will not get better. If you don't like the early ones, it will not get better for you, because just really kind of go off the rails with a lot of this stuff. So if you don't like it now, you're not going to like it in the future.
Yeah, because what we do, the way I see it is, if that's the thing that you're reacting to, then we should really focus on it. And we should go over the top and get it, you know? Most recently, I think I shared it with you, Kelly. Somebody made a suggestion that I shouldn't talk so much in the podcast. I should play more of the episode. And it's like, what?
Because it's such a crazy thing to say, because if you could just watch the episode. It's a
fucking podcast. Like, what are you talking about? Like, are you out of your mind? Yeah. Well,
I mean, they just want to listen to the episode. I mean, they could just watch the episode. Nothing is stopping them, right?
I mean, I guess if in the sanitarium, they can't change the channel, so. They can't, like, they don't have control over the channels. Right, Chris? Did they give you control of the channels?
No.
No, I got it. Yeah.
But, I mean, the other thing that we got a lot, we've gotten this from a lot of people, actually, what they call us irreverent, which I think is a crazy word to use for something like that, because we are talking about fictional characters and fictional situations.
The whole concept is irreverent. It's silly. It's and we do have one mega fan who just
we do
Chris, you and I have mega fans who we are their hate listen now, because I've wrote them off, and like people like Chris Cooling. Kelly, you're familiar with Chris Cooling. Mm-hmm. Chris Cooling was a big fan of VHS Rewind way back when we first started it. And I convinced him to do a podcast, and he started doing a podcast. Now he blocked me for some reason, but I know for a fact that he still listens to whatever we put out, because I don't know. He's got his own personal issues. But so we're kind of a hate listen for a lot of people. I don't know. Some people just have an issue. I don't get it. I think it's because we put out a show whenever we want to, about whatever we want to, and we say whatever we want to. And I think that, Kelly, you and I do the same thing with our shows. Is whatever's on our mind, whatever rabbit hole's in front of us, that's where we're headed. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, whether it be like, I remember we got into a conversation about that, about whether or not a two-parter aired on this first night. And it was like, we must have talked about it for 10 minutes. Like,
yeah. was
like, all right, time to get into the episode. It's just what we do. It's what we do. But yeah, if you guys want to do part two of this, I think it would be really fun to do the next version. Do you know what year that came out, Chris?
Okay, so I found out that this one that we watched was May 1975.
Okay.
So the first season would have been winding down at that point of Little House.
But what about the second episode, the Michael Landon?
That one's from 84.
Oh, wow. So, and do you know the guest host on that?
I don't. I can find out.
Jesus Christ. Give me 1 second. Come on.
I closed it. I didn't think you were going to ask me about this one.
That's the most terrible thing I've ever heard.
What else can I play?
All right. So that one's from December 1984. Wow. And we have Johnny Carson, Don Rickles again, Phyllis Diller again. I know Melissa Gilbert's on it. I saw like the opening. And Merlin Olsen is on it.
I mean, that's almost 85. That's pretty big. And I think they might have wrapped the final movie by that time.
By 85?
Yeah, right,
Kelly? Oh, Kelly, Dick Buckus, Storm Crew.
Do you know when the last thing wrapped?
I think they were probably in the movies by this point, weren't they?
Yeah, what was the last?
When did they blow up Walnut Grove?
Yeah, Little House, Last Farewell was, I'm looking this up, that was in 1984.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, if this
is December. So, they blew up the town in 1984.
So, if this is December of 84, I mean, we're guessing they filmed it probably within 2 months or something. But I would imagine they would have wrapped by this point. They're all unemployed at this point, except for Michael Landon, because he is Highway to Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He had Highway to Heaven during all the Dear Children, you know, as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I say we do that one. I say we jump into that one, and it would be a lot of fun for New Year's.
All right. That sounds like a plan.
And
Pat Harrington Jr. is on it.
Who?
Pat Harrington. You know, he was Schneider on One Day at a Time. Brian Keith.
It's funny. I know Schneider from from that show, but I don't know what else he was on. Like, I have no idea.
He was in a movie with Elvis. That's all I know.
All right. Yeah. Elvis is another one of those people where it's kind of like people cannot separate the human from the musician. People just, you know, they love him. They don't realize he was a flawed character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
he was not. Look, I'm one of those fans.
I know. You're
Ellie
a mega
was
fan.
Just talking about. I'm a mega fan when it comes to Elvis.
Yeah. But you're unchanged. Ever since I met you, you've been a huge Elvis fan. So, yeah.
I know.
It's sad. I'm kidding. Have you gone to Graceland yet?
Yeah, I did that many years ago.
As long as you could say you did that. But
I want to take my kids, but they don't want to go.
Can you blame them? Fuck them. Are they having a party downstairs right now?
No, they're all out. I don't know where. They call me sometimes.
Well, you know. Hey.
They call me maybe.
Whatever college is coming, they'll all be out of the house pretty soon.
That is true.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for doing this. You can check out stuff that Kelly and I have worked on. You go to LandedNation.com, of course. But you can also check out Dr. Quincast. Kelly writes for PrairieReview.com, which is her website.
Sure do.
Sure do. Do I have sure?
You sure did.
And and Chris, you can be found over at VHS Rewind, where you won't even write the description for an episode, but I do appreciate you showing up to record one. I do appreciate
it. All right, I will write this one up. I will write this one up.
It's a burn. No, you don't have to. I'll just... I don't like to count on people, you know? And
sting.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But yeah, Chris, I'm surprised you don't have a few podcasts out there. Maybe an Elvis podcast.
Who's got time?
All right. Don't do it. Let all the success go to someone else. But yeah, guys, thank you so much. I look forward to the next one.